Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is the US president's top medical advisor on COVID, has said that infections may be peaking in the United States, but his cautious optimism comes in the face of over 700,000 daily cases of Omicron and an average of 2,150 deaths from COVID every day. Well, for more now on how the situation is playing out in the United States, I'm joined by Marion McKeown, US correspondent with the Business Post. And Marion, those figures are jaw-dropping, really, at this stage. Certain states I know are very badly hit. Is it the vaccination rate that determines the impact?
Oh, I think it absolutely does, Claire. And, you know, the rates do sound jaw-dropping in relation to what we hear from Ireland. But in fact, yesterday, Sunday, the new infection rates dropped to 199,744. Now, that still sounds like a lot, and the seven-day average was still over 700,000. But it does seem people are sort of quietly, fingers crossed here, that things are heading in the right direction. The death rate is still high. Relatively, it's, as you said, it's still over 2,150 a day, but it does seem that things are going in the right direction there. And, you know, it's always been the case in America, because it's just so big that it goes in weird waves, that the densely populated areas like New York, California, Texas, Florida get hit the hardest first. And then it makes its way into the Midwestern states and the Northern states, which are not as well served with medical care. So, for example, you can compare California. I don't want to get too wonky, although I do love data. But at the moment in California, the death rate is 0.25% from new COVID cases. In Alaska, the death rate is 1.3%. So in New York, even though it's got a population of almost 40 million people, and about 78,000 people have died from COVID in New York, with about 8 million cases, per capita, that rate is not that high, because Texas, which has, I think, about 29 million people, has had more people die. It's had about 788,000 and then a few hundred more than California, even though it's got 11 million fewer. Now, California has one of the highest vaccine take-up rates of anywhere in America. It's, you know, again, the American statistics are misleading, because it says that vaccination, fully vaccinated Americans, is at 63%. Now, that includes everyone, including newborns. So if you go to over 12, like from 12 upwards, the vaccination rate is actually 73% for fully vaccinated. However, there are still about, I was doing my sums here earlier, there are still about 32 million Americans, adults, who have not been vaccinated and who will not get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of people who are absolutely adamant that they're just not getting vaccinated. And that leaves a lot of scope for future infections and future deaths amongst the unvaccinated.
And I see Dr. Anthony Fauci was saying that there looks to be a national peak that seems to have passed in the last couple of days. Now, that doesn't mean that Omicron has peaked in all of the various different states, because it's moving at a different rate, isn't it?
Exactly. So I think in the northern states, like, it has peaked in, as I said, the bigger, the coastal states, but now it's going into the northwestern states. Michigan is in a really bad state at the moment with new infections. So are several other states, where it's just Alaska, which is really hard hit as well. And it just seems that that's the way it goes in America, that when it gets into the less densely populated states at a slower rate, but when it hits there, it seems to hit very hard.
Okay.
So, I think poor Anthony Fauci, I think everybody just wants him to be able to take a day off. The poor guy, for 2 years, it's just been relentless for him. But he did sound today, or yesterday, when he was speaking on the Sunday morning shows, as though, I think that, you know, there are still unknowables with this. And I think one of his fears, which he articulated, was that there could be another variant, and the next variant could either be even more easily transmittable than the Omicron variant. It could be more vaccine resistant, or it could just be more virulent. It could be more serious. It might be, you know, more fatal potentially. So people don't know at this stage if there will be another variant, if it will be better or worse, or if. But scientists say typically pandemics, even with vaccines, can take up to 5 years to finally disappear. But I think everybody in America, certainly at this stage, is hopeful, because you have to remember that here there have been about 80, more than 86,000, almost 870,000 deaths, which is just a phenomenal number when you think about it.
Yeah, and I would hazard a guess that in this part of the world, in Europe certainly, there is less concern about a new variant. Some concern, certainly, but because the vaccination rates are higher, there seems to be less concern here. You're living in a country where, as you said earlier, 32 million people are not vaccinated. And I was reading in the New York Times, and I think you mentioned Mississippi, that the impact on hospitals is profound in some cases. The Mississippi hospitals that I was reading about in this special report were just saying, in the not-for-profit hospitals, that people are just leaving. They're just completely burnt out. They've had enough. They can't take anymore.
Yeah, and Mississippi and Missouri, which has one of the lowest vaccination rates, their hospitals, because they also have really poor healthcare systems, because a lot of these states, which ironically need healthcare the most, they turned away Obamacare. They wouldn't take the Obamacare funding. And so their hospitals, on a good day before COVID, were absolutely stretched to near breaking point, and now they just can't cope. One in four hospitals in America is now chronically understaffed. They're understaffed because medical workers are leaving in droves. They're just burnt out. And also because a lot of them are out with COVID themselves. They too are obviously getting ill at a higher rate than the rest of the population. And particularly in these poorer states, that they just cannot cope. And there's also a knock-on effect where other diseases like diabetes, which is a huge problem in America, cancers are being detected much later. So people are coming to hospital with cancers in a much more serious state, and tragically at stages where it's beyond, you know, the early treatment and good prognosis. They're past that in a lot of cases, and that's becoming a real problem here. Also with things like heart disease, things that would have been detected had hospitals been at their normal functioning rates. So America is, there's a health crisis on top of the COVID crisis, really, in the States, that it's, you know, inconsistent at best. Healthcare system is not well equipped to deal with. And but you do see, as I say, in states like California, New York, where they have decent healthcare, and I think Los Angeles County has, where I'm at the moment, has been very lucky. They've had a woman, Dr. Barbara Ferrer, who's just been incredible as their chief medical officer in dealing with COVID. And, you know, California was hit very hard. It's got 40 million people, but it really does seem to have done quite well. And the vaccination rates here are really high. They're low at the under 18 stage, but at the over 18 stage, they're about 85%. On average, and that's pretty good.
And what, Marion, can people get to help them avoid Omicron? Can they get free masks now? Can they get free antigen tests?
Yeah, it's a little late. It's a little bit of a day late and a dollar short. But you know what? It's still happening. You can now get everybody can get 4 free tests per household. But, you know, if you've got a big family, that's not really a whole lot. And then your healthcare provider has to give you 8 free tests a month. And you can reclaim that on your insurance. So your insurance provider has to pay for that everybody has to get 8 free tests a month. And then also they're now sending out the N95 masks and another 2 variants on that, which are, you know, the best quality masks and believed to be the best. So these are all being sent out to people's houses now. And as I say, medical experts and analysts are saying, yes, we need all this. It would have been nice, however, if we'd gotten it last November. But, you know, I think that the thing is, I do think that there is a feeling that the federal government and that the Biden administration is doing everything they can, but they have been a little slow off the mark in the home testing and the masks. But I think, you know, with vaccination, they really cannot be faulted, because if you haven't been vaccinated at this stage, it's because you are deciding not to be vaccinated.
And on antigen tests, are they available if you want to go out and buy them yourself? Are they expensive?
They're about $10. I was in
Each.
CVS the other day. Yeah, they're about $10 each. But as I say, you can buy them. And then if you have insurance, health insurance, you get a full refund. The government is sending out four per household. But they're about $10 each. Well, in the local CVS, unless they were gouging me. But, you know, as I say, they're still, which they may well have been, there's still a resistance here to having to spend that kind of money. People aren't thrilled about it, because there's such a bipolar approach to the federal government. On the one hand, people resent intrusion from the federal government. On the other hand, they want them to just do everything when it comes to things like this. I don't know if you're aware, but there was a march in Washington, D.C., the anti-vaxxers. At the weekend, it was several thousand people there. But, you know, you had people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Speaking at, in the most insane way. So the anti-vax, despite the waves and the toll it has taken on America, and it is likely that a million Americans will die from COVID before this is all over. Mm-hmm. We're nudging up to 900,000 at this stage.
Just go back to Robert F. Kennedy. What's he saying? Is he anti-vaccination altogether, or is he anti-vaccine mandate?
He's anti the whole thing, and he's now he's been an anti-vaxxer since way before COVID. I remember Robert F. Kennedy when I lived in New York, and he was a really dedicated environmental lawyer, and he had set up an organization called Riverkeeper, which did fantastic work. And he's gone now full circle, or not even 180 degrees to be accurate, into this anti-vax crank is the only way I can describe him, where he's against all vaccines and he's an avowed conspiracy theorist, and people are just scratching their heads and thinking, what's happened here? But he made a comparison by saying, you know, really in bad taste, saying that at least Anne Frank could hide in the attic in Germany. Well, for starters, obviously she was in Amsterdam, and it was such a crass, you know, insane, ridiculous, unwarranted thing to say. So he's getting deserved flak for that. But at this march, I was talking to a friend of mine earlier who said that the theme song now for the anti-vaxxers is the Meatloaf song.
Yes.
I would do anything for love, but I won't get vaxxed, I guess.
I see that they were blaring that out at the rally there in Washington over the weekend. And of course, Meatloaf, the reports are that he died from complications related to COVID.
Yeah, and he was an anti-vaxxer as well, like another avowed anti-vaxxer. And, you know, the ironies multiply upon the ironies. And as I said, you know, you just think, is there, at what point do the 32, 35 million, and these are adults now, these aren't unvaccinated children, but people who I said will not under any circumstances get vaccinated, because the toll, you know, 70 million Americans have been sickened by this, apart from the long COVID, the long-term side effects, and the deaths, as we said, which are up to close to 870,000 at the moment. You wonder, will there ever be a tipping point? And I don't think there will, because it's become so politicized as well. Apart from anti-vaxxers who don't trust the vaccine, they think there's a sinister government reason for it. There's also the politicization of it, that Republicans won't get vaxxed because they think it'll make Joe Biden happy. And that's really it in a nutshell, that the extreme Trump supporters will not get vaxxed because they think this is something that Biden wants.
And he did want,
you know, so the saga continues.
He did want federal workers to be vaccinated against the coronavirus, issuing a mandate, or attempting to issue a mandate for federal workers. Now, it seems as though 95% around or about of federal workers are vaccinated anyway. So is he going to push ahead with that?
Well, you know, the Texas Supreme Court, or the federal court in Texas, outlawed this. But they're kind of a day late and a dollar short, because as you said, Claire, it's like 95% of federal workers. There are about 3.5 million federal workers in America. 95% have been vaccinated anyway. Now, the Biden has said they will appeal the judgment anyway on principle. But, you know, it's as I say, the fact is that the overwhelming majority of them have been fully vaccinated anyway at this stage. And this is just Texas being Texas at the moment. You know, it's what can you say?
Well, Marion, we'll leave you being Marion. Thank you very much indeed, Marion McKeown from the Business Post. Thanks for your time.